Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Our good friend, St. Thomas the Apostle, did not believe that our Lord was truly risen from the dead. St. Thomas thought that the resurrection of Jesus was fantasy, fiction, fake, and false. He thought it was pretend, make-believe, some cleverly concocted myth. He thought the other apostles were dreaming and hallucinating, sad victims of very active imaginations that resulted only in optical illusions. Jesus says to us today, as he did to St. Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. The resurrection of Jesus isn't a dream or a hallucination. It isn't fantasy, fiction, fake, or false. Even if you can't see the mark of his nails, even if you can't touch his hands or his side, the absolute truth is this: Jesus Christ is not dead. He is truly alive. He is risen indeed. One day, a mother came before the Emperor Napoleon pleading for pardon for her convicted soldier son. Napoleon said that since it was her son's second offense, that justice demanded death. "I do not ask for justice," implored the mother. "I plead for mercy." But the emperor said, "He does not deserve mercy." "Sir," said the mother, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." Moved by the mother's compassion and clarity, Napoleon responded, "Well then, I will have mercy." On this eighth day in the octave of Easter, this eighth day in the octave of our risen Lord and Savior, the risen Lord Jesus is inviting us to experience the greatest fruit of his cross and resurrection, namely his divine mercy, his forgiveness. Justice. Justice is what we deserve. That's what justice means, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. Justice is giving another person what is their due, what is owed to the other person, right? Justice demands that if I take out a loan to pay for my car, that I have to pay it back. If I don't, I'm going to go to jail, right? Justice demands that I give my employer an honest day's work, otherwise I'm going to get fired, right? Justice demands that my employer pay me for an honest day's work. Justice is giving what is owed to a person, what we deserve. There's a spiritual side to justice. Religion is a virtue of justice. Religion, the worship of God, is not something that we do, if I have time to fit it into my schedule. Religion is not something I do, if I feel like it. Religion is part of the virtue of justice. It is what God deserves. We owe him our worship, adoration, honor, and glory. Justice is giving what the person deserves. Now, in justice, I deserve to die because of my sins. Death is what I deserve because of my sins. That is what is owed to me. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, has paid the demands of God's justice. He died in my place on the cross so that I could receive mercy. Mercy is different than justice. Mercy is not what we deserve. Many a penitent, moved to tears, cry and say, "Father, I don't deserve God's mercy." And I respond, "You are absolutely right. You don't deserve God's mercy, but he gives it to you anyway. That's mercy.
The mother of that condemned soldier got the definition of mercy correct. It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Justice is what we deserve. That's the definition of justice. Mercy releases the demands of justice and gives us precisely what we don't deserve, which is a second chance, a third chance, a chance to start over, a chance not to die, but to live. And our risen Lord and Savior is perfectly just and perfectly merciful.
Last July, during my Lenten retreat that I make every July, our retreat director, Father Chad Ripperger, told us something that I had never really thought of before about God's mercy. This is what he said. He said that our Lord shows his divine mercy to only two types of souls, to the ignorant and to the contrite. To the ignorant and to the contrite, God is merciful. The invincibly ignorant, as the Catechism says in paragraph 1793, invincible ignorance, when you just don't know, you honestly don't know. You made an erroneous judgment about how to live based on misinformation. It's not your fault. Invincible ignorance. God is merciful to the invincibly ignorant. Although the Catechism does say in paragraph 1860, it says, no one can be considered ignorant of the principles of the moral law which are written on the conscience of every person. The second is for those who are contrite, for those who are truly sorry for their sins. That's it. That's it. Those are the only two types of souls that receive mercy. Those who are ignorant and those who are contrite. And since I can't feign ignorance, I can't pretend to God, oh, I just didn't know about your law, the only hope for me is to be in the second category. I have to be sorry, truly sorry for my sins. It's a great point to remember. God is not merciful to the arrogant, to those who knowingly and freely disobey God's laws. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he says, God is stern with the arrogant, but to the humble he shows mercy. I can't go around deliberately disobeying God and hope for his mercy after death. I can't enjoy an immoral life now and then hope it will be all forgiven when I die. There's no mercy after death. Father Chad Ripperger reminded us on retreat, in the next life, there is only God's justice. Heaven or hell. That's it. Now is the time for mercy. Now is the time for the Lord's forgiveness. In this life, in September of 1936, at the convent of the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Krakow, Poland, our Lord appeared to a pious Polish nun by the name of Saint Faustina. And in that September of 1936, this is what the Lord told her in private revelation. Tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day are open all the divine floodgates through which grace flows. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though his sins be as scarlet. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. And so said our Lord to St. Faustina. You can take a look at it in her diary that she writes. It's in paragraph 699. The day that our Lord talks about, the Feast of Mercy, is today. This day, this first Sunday after Easter. Jesus promises that the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Now, today is the time for the Lord's mercy. Did you catch all that language about water? I will pour out a whole ocean of graces today. On that day, the divine floodgates are open. Let no soul fear to draw near to the fount of my mercy. Now is the time for the Lord's mercy. Don't be afraid to immerse yourself in the ocean of his divine mercy in the sacrament of penance. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. The mother of that condemned soldier got the definition of mercy correct. It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Mercy is all I ask for from the Lord on this Divine Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. I don't deserve it, but he wants to give it anyway. And I'm praying that my heavenly mother is pleading my case before her divine son. I hope she is pleading my case and begging and saying to her son, mercy is all I ask for Father Cook. And if I approach the Lord in the sacrament of penance with a humble and contrite heart, I hope that our Lord will say to me on this Divine Mercy Sunday, well then, I will have mercy.